Please remain standing as we turn in the New Testament to a passage that's different from the one in your bulletin. It's John chapter 15. John chapter 15. There are many places we can go to talk about Jesus and our union with him, but we'll be spending our time in John 15 this morning. For those who've been here recently, you know that over the last several weeks, we've gone over various key elements of the Protestant Reformation, the various battle cries for the Reformation. So we've done Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, living for the glory of God alone. We'll continue that for the next several weeks. Today we're talking about a very important doctrine, union with Christ, that was highlighted throughout the Protestant Reformation. Sadly, it's been forgotten in recent centuries, but it used to be a highlight of John Calvin and others. And then in upcoming weeks, we'll talk about theology of the cross that Martin Luther preached on a lot. We'll talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about other aspects, law and gospel, as they were all fleshed out during the Protestant Reformation. But today, we're talking about union with Christ. And this morning, our scripture will be John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1 and continuing to the end of verse 17. So let's now turn our attention to God's holy word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Let's look together to him. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are the King, that you are the Lord, and that through Christ we can know you. Help us to understand what it means to know him and abide in him. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Union with Christ. It's something you hear about a lot, especially if you read the Apostle Paul's letters, but it's hard to explain what it means. So the scriptures use various analogies to help us. This morning I want to use one that rings loud and clear from my days as a campus minister at Auburn University. There you go, Michael. That was Michael Caldwell, by the way. He's going to love this analogy because it's about Aubie. Now, I had a friend named Tim Jordan who's one of the students I worked with. And Tim, this ends well. Tim, we just talked this week. He's doing well. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. He's got three adopted sons. And he's following the Lord and a member of one of the churches in our denomination. But the reason I'm telling you about Tim this morning is because when Tim was a student at Auburn, he was Aubie. Now, that might not mean anything other than to Michael and Scotty, but Aubie is more than a mascot. I would probably get shot by Michael if I just called him a mascot. It's a guy who's dressed up in a tiger outfit who roams the sidelines. But he's more than that. He's a legend around Auburn. He is very involved in the public affairs. And so to call him a mere mascot is something that would get me shot. Now, Tim is a very quiet guy. As a matter of fact, when he told his high school friends that he was the Auburn mascot, they couldn't believe it. Like, what? He's an introvert. He's shy. He doesn't like to be seen in public. But yet, when he climbs in the Aubie costume, he comes to life. And he goes nuts. And so, as mischievous as Aubie is, Tim loved doing that, loved messing with the other coach before the team, before the game kicked off, the people on the other sidelines, the cheerleaders, the fans in the stands. He loved going and clowning around with people at the tailgate parties. Aubie is a legend. He's a rock star. Now, Tim, in and of himself, is not that. He could walk into a room and sit in the back corner and you would never even know he was there. But when he's in Aubie, he has access to the sidelines. He has access to the courtside seats around a basketball table. He's got, wherever he wants to go, he can go. He's got access to the stands. He's got access to all of the tailgate parties and all of the kids there. And so he is loved, not because he's Tim Jordan, but because he's Aubie. When people see Tim in the Aubie costume, they don't see Tim, they see Aubie. And all that Aubie has accomplished over the years, and Aubie has won multiple national championships as a mascot, they impute all of those good things to Tim when they saw him in Aubie. Now, that's like what it means to be in Christ. Because in Christ, not based on who we are as individuals, but in Christ, we have access to places that we couldn't go. Tim just can't walk on the sidelines today. Tim just can't walk up to the side of the basketball court, but in Aubie, he could. And our Old Testament brothers and sisters couldn't just walk into the Holy of Holies, but in Christ, we can and we do boldly. In Christ, we have a new status. We are children of God. In Christ, we have new abilities to please God that we couldn't have outside of Him. And so today we're going to talk about what is this union with Christ? What does Paul mean by in Christ? And then the second part, we're going to see that flowing from union with Christ comes all our spiritual blessings. Okay, so to be found in union with Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So Paul was confident he would be found in Christ, in union with Christ on Judgment Day. And then Christ also is in us. The Apostle Paul again, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, a familiar passage, but you realize the theological truth that goes in to those words, in Christ. And then Colossians chapter 1, 27. God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing thought. So So when we are united to Christ, he's also united to us. Marriage is a great picture. Christ willingly unites himself to us and shares all of his benefits with us. That's what it means to be united with Christ. Now, flowing from this union with Christ, comes all of our spiritual blessings. All of our spiritual blessings. And we'll just give a sample of some. We could talk about this for days. But first, think about regeneration, being born again. In Christ, we have a new nature. Now, it's like in Christ and union with Christ is the one hub, and from all of this, from union with Christ, flow all of these spiritual blessings. The blessings we have as a Christian are not a hodgepodge. It's not like a buffet line where you could pick this one and pick that one. Oh, I'll take the justification. I don't want holiness, though. But I'll take adoption, and then I don't know about the others. No, it's one complete package. It's one complete package. And they all flow from the idea that we are united with Christ. If you are a Christian today, if you are united with him, all of these things will be true with you. If these things are not true with you, then none of them are true. You can't pick and choose. You can't have glory without striving for sanctification and just, you know, and all. You can't have glorification without sanctification and striving to be holy. Not that you can earn your salvation, but I'm saying that if sanctification is not a mark of your life, then why should you expect glorification to be a mark of your life as well? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Regeneration, being born again, a new nature. Getting back to Aubie, Tim, when he stepped in that Aubie outfit, he had a whole new personality. He became alive, and he did things totally out of context for him. And he would go mess with people. One time, Ellen DeGeneres came to Auburn and had a show at Auburn in front of thousands of students. Tim heard about it. He goes, puts on the Aubie outfit and goes and messes with Ellen DeGeneres in the middle of her show. Who would have the audacity to do that? Aubie does, not Tim. In the same way, we have a new nature. We've been born again. And so we are different people than we were before we were united with Christ. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Another spiritual blessing that comes from union with Christ is justification. Justification, that's the term we've talked about recently, is being declared right by God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. In Aubie, when Tim put that costume on, he had a new status. He was a rock star, and he could go wherever he wanted to go because he was in Aubie. Likewise, in Christ, we have a new status, and that status is not guilty. That status is access to the throne of grace, something that we couldn't do on our own. But in Christ, because of what he has done, he takes us there with him to the throne of grace. In Christ, we have adoption, a new family. We are called sons and daughters of the King. In Aubie, Tim was adored by everyone. Literally, he is the most famous figure, maybe rivaled by Bo Jackson, but he is literally the most famous and adored person at Auburn. He can walk up to any family, and they're glad to have him. He can crash any party, they're glad to have him. He has a new family, loved by all. In Christ, we are adored, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. The Father adores the Son So he adores us because we are in Christ. It's not based on our efforts. It's not based on how likable we are. It's because we are literally united with Christ. And since God adores his Son, God the Father adores his Son, Jesus, he also adores us in Christ. So we have a new family. And just like we are united with God, we're also united with his people. So we are brothers and sisters in union with one another because we're all united with Christ. In Albee, Tim had no fear of rejection. There is literally nothing he could have done that would have gotten him shunned. Well, there might have been a few things, but there was no fear. You know, Tim is a rule follower. He's a rule follower. He's very concerned about what people think of him. But in Albee, there was no fear. And in Christ, there is no fear. Remember the words of assurance of pardon for all who are united to Christ. We read that earlier today from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to fear if we're united to him. Now, if we're not united to him, there's a lot to be fearful of. God's judgment. But if we are united with him, it's like being Tim in Albee. If we want to go on the sidelines, we go on the sidelines. If we want to go to the Father, we go to the Father. Not because we've earned it, but because Christ has earned it and we are in him. Another spiritual blessing, sanctification, which is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. This is a process. It's a new ability we have because we are united with Christ and we have the power of God's Spirit working in us and through us. We are able to please God in Christ. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. But we've all had pictures given to us by little kids that we adored. They wouldn't have passed a PhD exam for artists, but they are appreciated by us, and we love those pictures because a kid wanted to please us, and so they did something for us. In Albee, Tim could make anyone's day by walking up to them and having a picture taken or showing up at a birthday party or showing up at an Ellen event. In Christ, we really are able to please our Father, not because of the quality and purity of those works, but because they are done.